So I guess we're starting now, eh?
Hey.
Hey. What are we, Canadian?
Close enough. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. You were saying?
I'm saying we're only like 100 miles away.
Yeah. So oddly enough, we don't do this all the time. There are jobs that we do when we're not doing Ask an Atheist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hello, Bridget.
Yes.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Sam?
Pretty good. And how are you, Dan?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
Well, Bridget, you're working a new gig right now.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's interesting.
It is. You know, every office has a little bit of, you know, little quirks here and there. And this new office is, everyone, I just want to clarify, everyone's really nice. Everybody's been really supportive. But They do some things that are a little strange to me. So, like, they start every day with reading everybody's horoscopes. And then a couple people came in to work sick this week. And so they did an aura cleanse for the office.
An aura cleanse.
How does one cleanse their aura?
I went to the break room and did not actually watch it because I thought it was silly.
How are you getting along with the horoscope thing?
Again, I don't participate. I just, like,
not even once just to see what happens. Like, you'll be hit on the head by a safe today or anything like that.
Sure, it wasn't like an oral cleanse. They just use Listerine to, like, prevent infection.
No, I'm pretty sure it was an aura thing.
Oh, man.
I believe there was some chanting and, like, it was fun. It was, like, to observe from a great distance was fun. But yeah.
So this is the, I guess, less serious or less weird side of, you know, we've had conversations on the show a million times about praying, you know, enforced praying at work, enforced things, you know, religious stuff at work,
yeah,
religious requirements, going to church, things like that.
Right.
And we say that's bad. This is the first time I've seriously had to think about things like horoscopes and oral cleansing.
Oral
cleansing. Radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Words.
In a long while. And I want to say it's just as bad because really it is the same sort of religious impugnment that one would expect with specifically an evangelical Christian business.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it was totally accepted that I just chose to not participate in any of these things.
They
didn't make a thing out of it at all, which was really nice. But yeah, there was one other coworker. We sort of made eye contact and it was just like, really? This is happening now? Oh, okay, I'm going to go get some tea from the break room. Like, and it was fine, but
I'm kind of tempted to say that, like, if it's not hurting anybody, you know, just sort of treat it with the same irreverence that you would, like, kids with Santa Claus. It's like, oh, you know, I've got to be, you know, I've got to be ready for Santa Claus to come tonight. We have to put out milk and cookies. And
yeah,
my response to that is, of course you do. We're all having fun here. I'm a choo-choo train.
I was all ready to take the intellectual position of saying this is just as bad.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, from an intellectual position. But the fact that you can opt out without negative consequence,
yeah,
I think, puts something on that generally hasn't been missing in the stories that we've been talking about on the show when we're saying, well, we're required to go to church or required to pray at work. Where if you don't participate, you either get let go early, you don't make it out of your tryout phase, or you get passed up for promotion, or nobody talks to you.
Right.
And you're not experiencing any of that so far.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Okay, so I don't even think intellectually I can even say this is just as bad. This is,
yeah,
this seems like maybe in the same vicinity, but not nearly as virulent.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do have to say everybody has been really, really nice, so I don't feel like left out of anything, and so it's not all bad, it's just sort of silly.
But the chance of them hearing this is very small.
Pretty slim.
All right, very good. So,
well, you're feeling really good about the whole thing. The aura cleanse must have worked.
It must have, yes.
Helping Bridget get fired. Welcome to Ask an Atheist. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. A group of right-wing Hindus held a ceremony praying for the success of Donald Trump. Members of the Hindu Sena chanted at a ritual fire to ask Hindu gods for the presumptive Republican nominee to become president. The group praises Trump for his anti-Islamic rhetoric. Founder of the group, Vishnu Gupta, said that only Donald Trump can save humanity. Help me, Donald Trump. You're my only hope.
Now, there's a thing that I think, you know, I have a little bit of passing familiar with Hindu beliefs, but as far as I understand, Vishnu is one of the three faces of a particular deity that is Brahma / Vishnu / Shiva Rudra. It goes Brahma to create things, then Vishnu to sort of, you know, watch over things. And then Shiva Rudra is the third stage of this deity that destroys things.
Mm.
So naturally, if we're trying to move towards an apocalypse, Vishnu would want to get Trump into office. So I'm not very trusting of the name Vishnu Gupta.
Wow.
And that's my Glenn Beck style conspiracy theory.
Yeah, okay.
You guys should see the chalkboard in here. It is covered.
I was wondering when you start weeping.
I'm just so scared for my country.
Well, Hindu Sena is a right-wing arm of a political party in India called Hindutva, which is basically the Hindu political party. We're saying that, you know, India is a Hindu nation. The other five religions that have a huge part to play in India aren't allowed to make policy. Just us. So, for the record, this is a right-wing arm of a right-wing political party about Hinduism, which is makes it, like, from my perspective, every time I think right wing, I start thinking Pat Robertson. This is just like weird and cool, I guess. Except it's not.
Right.
Yeah. Except there's violence.
We're still talking about violence and division. And
yeah, and it ends up kind of the same way. There's definitely the riots, assassinations, building burning, you name it. Hindutva has been a part of that somewhere in its history, usually before, I think, 1970. But still, this kind of thing still happens.
Yeah. And Trump?
Why not?
Well, I mean, okay, so they like his anti-Muslim rhetoric,
right.
Sure. And maybe he hasn't outright come out and said that he's against Hinduism, too. But, you know, I mean, he hates everyone, probably including these people. Why?
Nah, I go to my casinos. It's great. Yeah, they're great. They're fine. Wonderful. They're fine. Wonderful people. Right. Have I mentioned that? I can go on all day.
I love Hindu people. Here's me eating a vindaloo. And of course, the best vindaloos are made in Trump Tower.
Yeah. I think maybe they're on his side. One, because he's the presumptive nominee at this point. But also because he's the only candidate who didn't say they were ordained by God to be president. And while he's clearly giving lip service to Christianity, I mean, you know, his favorite book is Corinthians 2. This time it's personal.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one where they kill Jesus with an electric wire? They trick him into biting a raft or something?
That this time, that his approach to religion isn't nearly as fundamentalist as practically every other candidate on his side of the aisle.
Yes, that makes sense.
I have the feels about this. I have not talked about it. This one, I know a little bit about Indian political history because it's actually fascinating. But the other thing is, I have the feels about this electoral process and this whole presidential thing that I just haven't touched at all on Ask an Atheist because I don't feel it's germane. Two, I need one little corner of my life where I don't have to freaking think about it.
Yeah.
And that's the show.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering why I haven't gotten big on it here, that would be why.
That makes sense.
But this was not, this was unexpected. I have to admit, I didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the last 5 or 6 years of doing the show, or no, sorry, the last 2 or 3 years of doing the show, because I've only been doing the show for 6 years now, are coming up on 6 years, is there's no one of the good ones as far as religion goes anymore. There's no religious, there's no, literally zero religions on earth with that are carry the world religion moniker or even the regional religion moniker that aren't that haven't committed some sort of violence.
I can't think of any.
I can think of various flavors of paganism that I haven't seen do anything violent.
Vikings?
It, like, they did that like 2,000 years ago. And,
right.
And honestly, the religion of those people back then, despite what I think a lot of modern people would say, is nothing like what's being practiced today.
I would challenge that, in that that's not completely true. That there are definitely members of the sort of reconstructed Norse religions that are very nice and wonderful people, and I get along fine with. In fact, one of those is actually a blogger on Pathos, who's I've been a friend of his. We've been friends since he was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been friends a good long time. However, there is a branch of that particular religion that subscribes to the Volkish theory of human races, shall we say?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and I think that disqualifies them in some ways.
But I think
I suppose the
caveat there is that there's various flavors.
But
of paganism.
But that's true in every religion.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
We could talk about specifically the one example that everybody would hold up would be Buddhism at this point.
What about Jainism?
Jainism. We've actually talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, Buddhists, you've got the Vietnamese Buddhists, the Zen guys who aren't violent. But now you've got this whole Myanmar thing where Buddhists are, oddly enough, also killing Muslims and trying to get them to leave their country. And so at this point, there's no religion I can think of that doesn't have some variant of it that isn't totally violent, which, one, makes you ask questions about humanity, of course, but two, makes you wonder about the value of religion. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, more politics, I guess.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. I want to bring it back, but it's
more than basic. If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview, informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com, where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington. Washington.org.
Not too weird, but... Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Continuing in our political discussion, a defense bill has been passed by the House of Representatives, including an amendment that could potentially open the door for discrimination by government employees and contractors. The National Defense Authorization Act, which is passed every year to define exactly how the military will be funded for the next year, included an amendment that would allow federal agencies and contractors to discriminate in their hiring on the basis of religious beliefs. If the bill passes the Senate with the amendment included, it could threaten executive order by Obama that bans discrimination by any government employer or contractor on the basis of sexual orientation.
Didn't we already do this one for military? Didn't we?
Yeah.
I swear we did this like 3 times in the past 20 years.
At least 20. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing this is going to be a review for everybody who listens to the show, but I'll just go over it again. Is this is the way laws are happen in this wonderfully transparent and totally free and democratic People's Republic of the North America. You've got something called the Defense Authorization Act, which they got to pass every year because that's how they figure out the military budget, and that's how they figure out you know, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a huge chunk of American spending. So you got to take care of it every year, usually take care of it fairly early in the process. But if you really want to throw somebody, if you really want to throw a caltrop in front of somebody, if you really just want to get in somebody's craw and look good for constituents, especially if it's an election year, you just toss something in that bill that has nothing to do with anything. It says, oh, yeah, for every $5 the United States gets in tax revenue, we have to torture and kill a puppy. And that's
what, one for every $5?
Yeah, that's a lot.
I don't think we have that many puppies.
I'm pretty sure we...
Even Primus doesn't have so many puppies.
Oh, you're expecting these laws to make sense, are you? That's how this works. That's democracy in action for you.
Yeah.
And if it makes you gag and throw up a little bit in your mouth, just a little bit, you are correctly perceiving, as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely.
Yeah. I believe I was once told that if you either follow politics or no, obey the laws or enjoy sausages, you should watch neither being made for the same reason.
No, I don't mind sausage being made for the most part. I mean, once you already get down with the idea that sausage is what it is, even nowadays where the outsides are made out of plants and not, say, intestines, well, that makes it a lot easier, I suppose. I don't know.
I guess. It's interesting, though, when you have the final product of a law that comes out and, you know, if it's a reasonable law, everybody kind of looks at it and says, okay, yeah, all right, well, that's fine. But all of the crap that's gone into getting there is just bizarre and amazing. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you have the initial substance, like what happened with the ACA, that has been absolutely gone through the meat grinder, shredded into tiny pieces, reconstituted back together with a bunch of stuff that has no business being involved. And
Yeah. The amazing thing about this stuff is it does seem to figure out a fair middle path for a lot of stuff, and more often than you would suspect. I don't know about the ACA; I'm not an expert on that, but it kind of works. I mean, at the end of the day, as much as I rant and rave about the American political process, I mean, the reason I do that is because I'm attached to it, because I'm interested in the way it works out, and In some ways, I love the absurdity of it all.
I think I would like the absurdity of our political process, especially our lawmaking process, more if it had more to do with progress and less to do with trying to maintain the status quo in a changing world for as long as possible.
Well, I can definitely identify with that, and I think that's germane to the discussion of the show, because we've long been talking about how religion in this country is changing, and the average American citizen is beginning to look a little bit more like me than they have in recent, you know, decades, I suppose you could say. And so we do talk about that, but then is every concept of progress a good one?
Well, clearly not. I mean, take a look at the Industrial Revolution. Everybody thinks that it's this great thing, but that's sort of led to our current climate issues, you know. So no, not everything that seems like progress is actually progress. Mm-hmm. But when you couch it as this, like, you know, we're making progress by keeping everything like it was, it doesn't work that way, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why seeing it as preserving the status, so, you know, preserving the status quo is definitely something that the American political system is involved with. I guess when you're on top, you kind of want to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But when people say I'd like a government that, you know, works progressively and make things better, the question I always end up asking is what, you know, how do we determine what progress is? Precisely because of that, where I would say the Industrial Revolution was definitely a good thing. The average lifestyle of humans raised, while it wasn't all over the place, was definitely not over the place. It was parts of the planet where you wouldn't realize anything's changed at all. And the environment's definitely taken a hit because of it. We're now in a position to actually say things meaningfully about the environment, and our you know, of access to information, and the information, the accuracy of that information has increased considerably. And I'd say that's probably, I don't know, I'd say that it's definitely worth it, but I kind of feel that it's worth it.
I guess it's sort of an ill wind that blows no one any good. Obviously, like, unionization and child labor laws probably wouldn't have happened without the Industrial Revolution necessitate them in the first place.
Yeah, public education.
Public education.
Becky would definitely have about 20 minutes of public education stuff.
Globalized culture, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's all great. But one of the unfortunate drawbacks of the Industrial Revolution is that we're sort of addicted to our fossil fuels. And not moving away from them as quickly as we need to be. And this is a thing that is an artifact of the Industrial Revolution and has the potential to end the human race.
And the consumerism aspect of it, just like this culture of buy and use and discard and buy again sort of concept that came from the Industrial Revolution.
I actually challenge your values on this. Both of you, actually.
Go on.
oh no.
The problem with consumerist culture, as you're perceiving it, or as you're talking about it, and where I might agree, is that the buy, use, and discard cycle uses resources which are not replenished. And if we're doing the buy, use, and discard things in an energy and a resource efficient way, I don't see a problem with it.
If we were, there wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
But we're not, so there's the problem.
And I think we call it an addiction on fossil fuels, which I disagree. It's an addiction on energy densities. And the minute that we can get... There is, however... The thing is, we need to separate our own addiction from, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there appears to be a soapbox below me. All right, here we go. I think our addiction literally is on energy densities. And the more our technology increases and the better we get at stuff and the more we do things, the more energy density we require. We need batteries that store way more power to the point where they're basically explosives now. We need lots of lights, lots of heat, that sort of thing. That we need that density. And hydrocarbons have definitely provided that density when we wouldn't otherwise have had it. If we had a technology that provided the same level of density, I think we would quickly switch to it. That technology doesn't really exist yet outside of nuclear, and people are terrified of nuclear.
This is a problem in environmental sciences for sure, and a lot of people who aren't environmental scientists but identify as environmentalists are very anti-nuclear, and in my opinion, that's kind of it's a hard place to be because it has the currently, it has the best potential for replacing fossil fuels as far as energy density goes, like you're saying here. And yes, there have been accidents in the past, but these are in much older reactors with poorly trained personnel that were poorly located, that kind of thing, where we can take a look at like U.S. Navy ships that are, you know, running off reactor power. And I'm not actually aware of a single major incident in those smaller reactors.
Right.
So maybe, you know, part of the problem that is, you know, with first and second gen reactors, we have better technology. You know, we have the ability to do thorium reactors. We have the ability to do much smaller reactors like we did in, I think it was in Voyager 2.
Right.
And it's still running all the way out at the edge of the solar system.
That actually didn't require too much juice, but that was also one of the heaviest things we ever launched before the shuttle. Mm. That wasn't a moon probe, I suppose. okay, I guess I got to throw out there. I am a expert of nothing. I know nothing. I am sure everything I say, somebody's going to be, oh, I didn't know what he's talking about. Oh, you're right. Who is the guy who came up with the Gaia concept, that scientist?
I'm not certain.
I'm not familiar with
that. Well, the whole idea is, you know, the integrated life form that...
Right.
Actually is an advocate for nuclear power because it's the only way we're going to get it. But the whole reason I say we're addicted to energy densities rather than petroleum is because when we say we're addicted to petroleum, that puts us in the same room as people who make their livelihood or their incredibly their financial densities off of oil. And I don't think we need to just immediately identify with them. I think we need some sort of wedge between them so that we can see that we don't necessarily need this component. This component just provides a service that we think we need.
Oh, I see. So your intention in saying we're addicted to energy densities, not petroleum, is not so much contrary as it is optimistic.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're on the same page.
Because if I'm not optimistic, I'd...
Tell me.
Yeah. Oh, I've decided not to be optimistic.
No.
No. Okay, that didn't work. I forgot about the fader. Because the interesting thing about all of this is I actually listen to you guys a lot as far as the, as far as the environmental stuff goes. Because I pay attention to it and I care about it, which is why I've always been an advocate for nuclear power.
Yeah.
But to say that I'm not an expert on it. I don't know about, marine ecology nearly as much as you do. Dan, I
sure,
that's kind of what you talk about.
It's kind of my job.
It's kind of a thing he does sometimes.
How did we get here?
Well, you know, that's more of a question for an evolutionary.
Yeah, how did I paint myself into this corner?
Possibly an astrophysicist. Where's Donald? Donald!
He hasn't been on the show in ages. He should come back on.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him in a bit. Hey, I know what will clear the air in the room. A gay pastor in Texas has apologized to Whole Foods for a hoax involving a gay slur in icing on a cake. Jordan Brown filed a lawsuit against the organic supermarket claiming that a cake he ordered with the words "Love Wins" came with a gay slur written on it. Whole Foods denied the allegations, filed a countersuit, and released a security video showing that the package the cake came in had been tampered with after leaving the store. Brown admitted the entire incident was a hoax and that he was dropping his case. Whole Foods announced they will drop the countersuit, saying they were pleased that the truth has come to light, and that with Brown's apology and admission of the fabrication, they saw no reason to continue with their suit.
Well, good on Whole Foods for just letting it go when somebody came out and apologized.
Yeah.
Maybe that's too easy a stance to take, and as much as I like to make fun of Whole Foods from time to time, but I'm impressed. I like to see... you know, good behavior in large, powerful corporations. And this is an example of that. As far as the pastor with the cake goes, what were you thinking, man?
Yeah.
Really?
That seems to me like sort of the boy who cried wolf sort of thing. There are plenty of actual problems out there facing the LGBTQ community that you don't need to fabricate something like that. I mean, if you want to have your name in the paper, go out and be a support for somebody who's actually facing a real problem. You don't need to fabricate it. So, I mean, yay, I'm glad that you fessed up and said that it was a hoax, but also, like, dude, seriously, do something beneficial with your life. There are plenty of things to do.
I'm honestly baffled at this one. I'm baffled because I think the drive here might be money.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, he could have been trying to get some money from Whole Foods or sell a book or something like that.
I did read that he's potentially filing bankruptcy, so might have been a motivation. But, yeah. Still, that's just... there are better ways. Come on. Start a GoFundMe. Do a fundraiser of some sort. Like,
sure.
Don't bring down the rest of your community by faking something that is already very real for a lot of people.
And I would just like to acknowledge something. The elephant in the room here for the, no doubt, numerous other Portal fans listening to the show. Eh?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Eh?
Go ahead.
The cake was a lie, guys.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of that. That's absolutely true. Wow.
Now there's a game that teaches you to think outside the box.
The cake was
the pastor's
intact.
Just Gladys is all over.
I'm looking this up and I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, far be it for me to try and understand this, but he's looking for a hundred large. Yeah, it's happened in Texas where Whole Foods is based. And, okay, apparently he's going through a bankruptcy and he's the pastor at the Church of the Open Doors.
Yeah.
This is kind of his thing.
Yeah. And also the baker who decorated the cake is gay himself. So he must have just chosen the wrong bakery to go to.
Well, in that case, it could have been thrown on there as a term of endearment sort of thing. You know? I believe it's a word like the N-word that has been reclaimed by the society that it belongs to, or mm-hmm. by the demographic that it belongs to.
Yeah, but putting it on a cake.
That's still in pretty poor taste.
I mean, if you're going to do that, at least make two cakes.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, I suppose I deserve that. Yeah, won't desert you on that one.
Oh.
I like how this joke has layers.
I mean, I won't pretend that this isn't Texas, and if he really wanted that sort of thing, if he tried a little harder, he might have found it. I mean, there's no...
You don't have to go very far in Texas to find discrimination against homosexuals.
Yeah,
really
according to the interwebs, you don't have to dig too deep to find a rich vein there.
Yeah.
But I'm boggled. I honestly... which I think might be the theme for today. I continue to be boggled. I can't make a dessert pun. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Go to a break.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at SeattleAtheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Join the Original Motto Project, Humanists of Washington's, the Ask an Atheist Gang, and others on June 29th at 11 a.m. for a rally in Olympia to raise awareness for the motto We Believe Our Nation Deserves, E Pluribus Unum. Take part in the secular alternative to Reverend Franklin Graham's rally being held at the same time on the Capitol steps, in which he intends to preach the gospel as part of his Decision America tour. Go to bringbackourmotto.com for more information on We the People. Fantastic. I'm actually beginning to get kind of excited, also a little scared, because... You know, talking in
You're
front
talking,
of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to go, but I think I will be.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, having...
You're going to be out saving the world though. So you know.
Wait, when is this again?
June 29th.
June 29th. Yep. I'm going to be in Jersey.
Yep.
You're going to be in
Jersey.
For a little while, and then...
Jersey the island, or New Jersey?
New Jersey.
Okay,
New Jersey.
All right. Because those are different places.
Very.
Yes. I'd also like to thank Clint from the Internet, the Ray family, and Owen also from the Internet for meeting Peggy's Challenge. Peggy's Challenge is Peggy from Kent Local's challenge to the listeners of this here show, Ask an Atheist, to help us keep the lights on. Every dollar you give us goes directly towards show production. You can go to askanatheist.tv, go on the right-hand side, click on the yellow button, goes right to our PayPal page. Every dollar you give us goes directly towards show production. If I didn't say that already... I've got an email. This is sort of, I think, a follow-up from an email we did a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago now. So this is Bobby from Arizona who writes, do you ever wonder if the term atheist is too broad a group to ask a meaningful question to? Atheists, in my experience, tend to be extremely diverse in what they believe, support, and or know. This makes asking questions of atheists a difficult proposition, as the resulting answer will only be valid for the person who gave me the answer and not the population as a whole. Bridget, why don't you take this one first?
Yeah, you know, I actually like that it's sort of a broad term, just because that way people can personalize it a little bit more and say, you know, yes, I'm an atheist, but I'm also, you know, a teacher. I'm really pro-science. I'm pro-GMO. I'm anti-dam. I'm, you know, any number of things. I remember very vividly helping out Seattle atheists at a booth at an event in Seattle in the university district. And this woman came up and she's like, humanists of Washington, or Seattle atheists. Maybe it was a humanist of Washington. I don't remember. But anyway, she was like, I wish that you guys would take a stronger stance on GMOs. And I was like, well, I don't think we really can take a stance on GMOs, because there are some people in the atheist community that, you know, are really pro-GMO, and there are some people who are not pro-GMO. And she got really quite angry with me because I wouldn't take a stance on it. And she eventually stomped her foot and said, you can't rationalize with people like you, and walked away. And I was like, but I was just trying to explain that that's why we don't take a stance. So, I mean, yeah, I like that it's a broad term, but I also, it's like, why do we need to label ourselves further? Like, you can if you want to, but you don't have to. It's sort of a, I don't like having people try to pigeonhole me. So, yeah.
You know, this is something I actually kind of like. I think it's a fantastic question, and it's absolutely worth asking. And I sort of wonder if it isn't in reference to the title of the show here, Ask an Atheist. In which case, I'd like to point out it is Ask an Atheist, not Ask All Atheists. And we do get a fairly diverse group on board here with varying opinions on varying things. Sam and I just spent half a segment disagreeing on other stuff in the most passive way possible, but that's sort of our norm. Everybody that comes on the show is going to have different opinions about different things. So I sort of like that. Even when we field a question like this, that is a fairly generic question, we're all going to have different ideas about that. And I think that that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I feel like this is the Red Dwarf question, you know, where the robot flips up the visor and says, justify yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be the Inquisitor. Thank you.
You'll be judged by yourself.
Yourself. And I think you are precisely right. And honestly, that was when Jeremy and Mike and Casey and me and Becky and everybody else who were getting started on the show back in 2010 now, we're talking about it, was the whole reason we wanted to have so many people involved, and the whole reason I still to this day try to do this rotating cast as much as possible, is because it's not like being a member of another religion. There's no dogma, there's no catechism, there practically isn't even an algorithm for being an atheist other than not believing in a god. And everything else that we've talked about the show, skepticism, separation of church and state, while we do talk about them and that we tend to on the show, tend to mix together, we do also talk about the way they're separate and the way you can be one without another. I mean, I've met tons of atheists who believe in spirits. I've met atheists who would be totally on board with an oral cleanse and a horoscope. I mean, they'd totally be fine with that. In my family, even. And that's that's kind of why I like representing this particular group, is because maybe because it gets me out of responsibility of having to actually represent a whole, like, be representative of a group when the group is this diverse. I
represent all of us, Sam.
Yeah,
do
no,
it.
I can't even. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't agree with everything we've said on the show.
Yeah.
Heck, I don't agree with everything I say. But I mean, some of that is just time goes on. But as we, you know, as we showed in the earlier segment, I don't necessarily agree with everything anybody says, but I don't really see that it's my job to disagree all the time.
Right.
I mean, I'm the host, not the chief interlocutor. as weird as that may seem, and so that leads to the show that, you know, we've got now. The show has been changing. The show will continue to change. You know, I think one interesting thing to talk about, and I actually want your opinion on this one, is I've been kind of thinking for the last 2 years or so about doing an episode called Atheism as Fad. A little bit. Is there was definitely, I mean, because it's 2006 was the year that I decided that I was going to be public about my atheism. I've self-identified as an atheist for far longer than that, but I always kind of kept it to myself, kind of to stay safe or to stay in a relationship that I rather liked at the time. And then I decided to become public about it in 2006. And that seemed to be a good year to pick. Because...
yeah, I'm sort of coming out of the woodwork at that time.
Yeah. And to me, I feel like we're kind of on the other side of that one now. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Like, what do you mean on the other side of it?
There was
like...
this huge boom, and busts sometimes follow a boom. And we're not having people saying, oh, no, I'm a Christian Scientist now. There doesn't seem to be the same weirdness from, like, the same pulse from the internet that there used to be.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense at all?
Yeah, definitely. Kind of the way that I see this is we were successful. And one of the things that we were trying to accomplish, and that was destigmatizing the word atheist. I think that that's my very optimistic outlook on this, is that, yeah, I know I'm not going to get a bunch of boos from the room if somebody says, oh, so where do you go to church? And I say, oh, actually, I'm an atheist. Mm. And they'll be like, oh, that's cool. So what do you do on weekends? You know, like,
yeah.
And I can be like, well, on Sundays, my non-religious practice is coming out here and doing the show, or maybe just going and picking some berries or planting some trees.
Planting trees, yeah. You know, I agree that it's probably not so much that we aren't getting as many new atheists. People aren't leaving their, or they are leaving their religion like they were 10 years ago, but I don't think that it's as big a deal that those numbers are happening. Like,
right.
It's just, you know, it's just sort of a thing that happens now. And I think a lot of that has to do with the destigmatization of the term. It's become a lot more common to hear it. When I was growing up, atheist wasn't even spoken anywhere in my vicinity.
Right.
Until I was... an adult. So now it's fairly common. More kids know what an atheist is, and because of internet, and so it's just sort of a common thing that you don't really, it's not newsworthy anymore.
Well, I think you both sort of presaged where I was going to take the episode, so now I don't have to. Now I think I'll still do it, because there's a lot of points to be made, but one of the things that one of the reasons I was thinking behind it is the numbers aren't saying there are less people becoming atheists in the United States. The numbers are exactly the opposite. The numbers of atheists in the United States are skyrocketing, but almost entirely in the less than 30 set.
Yeah.
Among, you know, people coming of age. And I like to think that we're far from done. If I thought we were done, I wouldn't have to be talking about Oklahoma every other day.
Oh, jeez.
But I think you're right that I think the movement, it has been successful on many levels in normalizing the concept. And but I personally decided that I was going to stick with it because, yeah, the more I do this and the more I do what I do, the more I realize that you kind of have to. And then
right.
there's also the other side of it.
You can't quit when you're ahead. It's just like, you know, if you're exercising and like, all right, I've hit my fitness goal. I'm a 180-pound gymnast. I'm going to stop exercising now.
No.
Nope.
the other thing is I've more and more, maybe this is an aspect of aging, because, you know, I'm honing in on 40 at this point. But I start thinking about in terms of humanism more than I have atheism, where atheism doesn't say much, but atheism isn't a major statement of philosophy, but it definitely provides limitations and structure in your interfaces defined by other people when they're theists and you're an atheist. There's definitely a kind of conversation that happens. But when I start talking about my humanism, then I feel like I'm kind of authorized to talk about stuff like, oh, I don't know, Donald Trump or the economy or stuff like that, where stuff that I would have completely have shied away from 5 years ago on the show. I don't know. Is that a improvement? Is that a detriment to the show? I think I'd leave that to you guys.
I actually kind of like that we've started talking politics a little bit more, because we used to have the rule that, you know, there were several topics that were off limits we just don't talk about on the show. And I sort of felt for a long time that these things are pertinent to the subject of atheism and what an atheist's rights are in our culture and that kind of thing. And so I kind of like that we're throwing a little bit more out there. And it also gives us some more space to disagree and make a more entertaining show.
Definitely it did for us, you know, for the three of us and for Mike, is that, you know, when we got on the show, we kind of agreed with each other. But then off the air, we were at each other's throats sometimes with our disagreements. And
yeah. Well, and I think the bringing up politics is important, because there is so much religion involved in politics right now. We have to take a stance, which is evident in things like the Reason Rally, which is coming up in Washington, D.C. In June, which I will be at and I'm really excited about. But, I mean, it was, you know, 35,000 people showed up for the first one 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what happens this year when we've now had 4 years of growth. More people know what's happening.
They're talking in the hundreds of thousands this time.
Yeah. It's going to be intense.
And it's actually surprising how little we've talked about the Reason Rally here on the show.
Well, I'll come do a report when I get back.
I would like that. Yes. I might send you with the field recorder and see if we can get an interview or two.
Yeah,
I mean, we knew somebody who had a good field recorder.
Yeah, jeez. I wonder.
I'm going to be spending some of my time there helping out at the Camp Quest tent. So.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
It'll be fun.
There's a second part to this question. Are you guys going to play Overwatch?
I don't know what that is. I don't play video games.
I've heard some hype about this game coming out, but I'm at the very core of my being a retro gamer.
Yeah.
So I didn't really start playing like Skyrim until last year, and
that's not retro gaming.
I got into Minecraft about 6 months ago. You know, I tend to latch onto a game as its popularity is in decline.
Mm-hmm.
So I may play Overwatch, but it'll probably be in 5 or 6 years.
No, that, I you know, in a lot of ways, I do the same thing. Like, I don't have a current gen console. I have a 360. I'm about to start playing Fallout 3.
Yeah,
which I think is like a 10-year-old game now. And everybody else is playing Fallout. I think I'm not going to call it retro gaming, but I think that's just being economical. I mean, it's not like the game
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like the game gets less good.
No. The game is still just fine. Actually, yeah. I started playing Fallout 3 a couple of years ago when it was like a 7-year-old game or something, and it was like, "Boy, this is great. How come nobody's playing this anymore?" I guess people still are, but you know, there was there wasn't the same amount of hype about it online or anything like that.
So from the looks of it, it looks like a cross between Team Fortress and World of Warcraft. It's a Blizzard game.
Hmm.
So people who brought you World of Warcraft and StarCraft and Warcraft and things that end in craft that aren't mine.
If it winds up being like a turn-based FPS, that would be like a double strike for me. I'm like,
No, it's not a turn-based FPS. I don't know that they've ever done a turn-based FPS, actually.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if they ever have either.
For people who don't play games, what's FPS?
Oh, a first-person shooter.
I don't even know how you would do a turn-based first-person shooter. I'm sure they exist. I'm sure somebody's tried it.
Yeah.
But... turn bases, you take turns. You know,
that one I played Tag growing up too, so oh, yeah. I got that one.
Oh, but. Yeah.
I had a really slow dial-up connection when I first started playing Doom in the 90s, and it was basically
turn-based
FPS.
Yeah, I'm actually, I really dislike first-person shooters for the most part. I'm not into them. I really liked the original Team Fortress for Quake 1, but now we're talking 18, 19 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really played anything seriously since then. So that's the... am I going to play Overwatch? I need something to play it on, and I ain't got it. You know, I don't have a PS4, I don't have a Xbone, and my PCs all run Linux, so I think
a few years down the road, maybe.
I think the answer to your question, Bobby, is we're all terribly lame and won't be playing Overwatch. So,
Bobby, will you be playing Bubble Bubble? Because I know I certainly will.
Bobby Bubble Bubble. Yeah, sure. I'm a bigger fan of Puzzle Bobble myself.
Are you
familiar with Puzzle Bobble?
Was that the one with the little angles you had to shoot and match up the bubbles sort of in a Tetris style kind of thing? And
yeah. Like,
it was kind of like Bejeweled, but with Bub and Bob.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like you had Bubble Bobble, where they captured everything in bubbles, and then Puzzle Bobble, which is where they released everything that they had captured in bubbles and through this puzzle game, and they must have captured way more animals than I ever saw, because there were 8,000 of those Puzzle Bobble games. Not that I'm complaining, because they were among my favorite. I still play them now, especially thanks to MAME and arcade emulation.
I'm pretty sure that whoever came up with the original like Bubble Bobble for the NES, and you know the subsequent games that came out of it, was pretty high, because you know and. Because you have the bubbling, of course.
Yeah,
and there,
yeah.
You know, there's your first hint. You've got this cave full of monsters, and the monsters sort of start out as cute, but then get horrible, and there's that skull whale thing that follows you around and makes you paranoid. But then when you actually defeat the monsters, you're not rewarded with, like, you know, money, or, I mean, you are rewarded with points, but those points come from snack foods.
Yeah.
So the way that I kind of watched through, like, you know, Bubble Bobble, it's like, all right, so... So you're, you know, using your bubbling piece of equipment and defeat the sense of paranoia, and in return your munchies are satiated.
I see.
It's like raining donuts, you know.
Is this your PhD thesis for psychology? Because you might have a winner.
I'm not much of a psych guy, but we can send this one to Tom. He could he could double up.
Nobody knows who Tom is.
Oh,
let's keep it that way.
All right.
Secret. Is Bubble Bobble your favorite old style game?
Out of the NES games, I'd have to say yes. For the Sega, Cyborg Justice all the way.
Cyborg Justice is
love
pretty good.
Love Cyborg Justice.
And you don't play video games at all.
I don't. I have issues with getting really anxious about them. And so I either have to play with a god code or a game that you can't die in. And even then, sometimes I get really like... Okay, Zelda, the little zombie things freaked me out so badly.
She's talking about the mummies in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was here to witness this. She ran from the room
screaming.
You're
wearing a Zelda shirt right now. Uh-huh. Like that.
She really likes Zelda.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't do the whole video game thing. I was really excited when the Nintendo Wii came out because I'm the kind of person that when I play a game, I get like full body into it. I'm moving around. And so I thought, hey, a Nintendo Wii, I could actually play it and it would follow my movements. And so like the game that came with the Nintendo Wii had like a Wii bowling thing.
Yeah.
And I had to train myself to not let go of the Wiimote, right?
That's what the thing is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. but then we went real bowling.
Like 3 months after, like 3 months of playing.
I got really
Nintendo
good at
Wii
it.
Bowling.
Oh, you didn't let go of the ball?
I didn't let go of the ball.
And threw herself face first right onto the bowling
right
alley.
Right down into the middle of the alley. And
that is sad and awesome.
The owner of the establishment that we were at came out and he's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah." And everybody was laughing at me and I was really embarrassed. And he's like, "Nintendo Wii." And I was like, "Yeah."
And he goes, "You're not,
you're
the,
not
first.
The first."
Oh, that is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Minecraft, creative mode.
I've just never really gotten into it, but it looks really interesting. I know Dan plays it quite a bit, and I get the music stuck in my head. And now, thank you for this, though. I do have Bubble Bobble songs stuck in my head forever and ever and ever and ever. It's going to be there all
yeah.
day. But yeah.
So for me, for old games, it's got to be Food Fight. Is a big one. I said the Puzzle Bobble games, but I think my favorite game continues to be Mario 3.
That is a good one.
Yeah. I got to play it like a year before it came out because somebody
longest
brought it in from Japan.
Commercial ever.
Oh, yeah. You can go to our website, askanatheist.tv, email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Toll free nationwide. Twitter us at askanatheistwa. I'm a little lightheaded. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Later, taters.